Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Happy Tuesday to you, Southern California. My name is Farley Malaris. I'm here with you every weekday at 12 noon on KFOX, the Astrology Hour. And today we are rebroadcasting the first hour of this show from 5:30 to 6:30 on KFOX. So no calls, please, if you're listening during rush hour traffic. So today we're going to take a look at a totally different topic, a real experimental challenge on the Astrology Hour, as we analyze existential philosophies, some of this Socrates stuff that the universe is just random and everything is disconnected, and the belief that there is no God, atheistic beliefs. And then we're going to counter that with some validation as to why I believe there is a God and why I believe there is a controlling force in this universe. And that the soul does have assets, properties, essence that is eternal. So if you're interested in God philosophies, this would be a show to listen to and pay attention to. Okay, this is a crazy topic, a strange topic today, you may ask, the existentialist view and the atheistic view of God. And frankly, you know, I think one of the things that inspired me in getting interested in God and God philosophies when I was very young, 3-4 years old, is I was kind of an atheist when I was a very young child, like 2 years old. But when I first regained consciousness in this dimension, I had this fear of nothingness, this vacuum of emptiness. Even at a very, very young age, I guess there was something in my soul that triggered the thought that I was alive, that I would die one day, and that even at 2 years old, I was aware that I would be locked in this coffin. See, we're not aware, but even the two-year-olds watch television. And even the two-year-olds watch movies and hear people talk and witness people dying. Because when I was 2 years old, people were dropping like flies. And people were going to funerals and cemeteries and all of this and that. And at a very young age, watching movies where people are being shot and killed and buried, this two-year-old mind of mine was very, very frightened and realized how vulnerable and how volatile and how limited my life seemed. The fact that it could be cut short at any time and then an infinity of nothingness would follow. And like I've mentioned on the show many times, I didn't get too much help from too many people when I went to talk about this, because a lot of people I talked to had the same exact fear. But you know, it's interesting to know that there are many, many people on this planet now and throughout history that have actually withheld and sort of nurtured an existential philosophy that the universe is a random, disconnected item, and that there would be no God in this viewpoint. The atheists believe that what is happening here is that we are electrical beings, and that when you die, the body is like a battery, and the electricity just disperses, and there's nothing. And sometimes a lot of these people that are atheists and into existential views are very comfortable about this philosophy, because sometimes they think it's even better to just live your life best way you can, and when you're dead, that's it. You don't have to worry about eternity or infinity or any of this stuff that people into belief of God are constantly thinking about. Because throughout time, those professing religious philosophy seem to offer this pain-pleasure syndrome where if you're good, you get rewards in heaven. And if you're bad, you get punished and sent to hell. Even the existence of Jesus Christ, for example, which in the Christian sense is the validation that God does definitely exist. Because if God didn't exist, how in fact would this man be resurrected and come back from the dead, rise up from the dead, and after rigor mortis had set in and everything, and then come back to life? But then there are those that would assign that philosophy, the Christian philosophy, the resurrection of Christ, as a myth, a conspiracy that was developed by the government at that time to try and control the people and to try to alert them that there was a pain-pleasure syndrome. Of course, the Bible does talk about damnation, and I believe somewhere there in the New Testament. So this was finally a way to control the population with this proof that a man lived, he died, he came back from the dead, and therefore there is a God, so you better be good little boys and girls. So you know, I've been thinking about this, pondering a lot of this stuff, because I'm aware that there are a lot of people out there that have trouble dealing with the concept of God and eternity and the human soul and evolution of the soul and such. So while I was pondering all this stuff, I was trying to figure out a way for that I could prove to you that God does exist and that there is an afterlife or that reincarnation is real. And then I was thinking about karma and dharma. I was thinking about these two concepts. Karma being an energy vibration that exists when a human being chooses to incarnate into this dimension, right? If the human being respects this dimension, the people in it, and themselves, then they sort of return a positive vibe back from this dimension. And if they abuse this dimension and people in it and themselves, then they receive a negative vibe. So basically the law of karma dictates the way we live is the way we die, and the way we live our life basically offers the return of the vibration that we also earn. And then the law of dharma, of course, is a law that where you do good deed, when you help people, when you reach outside of your body and do something positive for other people, then that is a positive force that stays with you. It's a dharmic return. And then I was trying to figure out a way to prove that karma and dharma is real and that it does exist, and I came to astrology. Because I am a major skeptic. Even though I am like a scientist in the way I do tackle life, and I'm always interested in burdens of proof and uncovering or proving that things are wrong or right, it's like my whole life is like a fantasy quest, and I can't get to another level unless I conquer the level before it, and in order to conquer that level, I have to go through like a fivefold sequence or whatever in my life to do things. But still, as somebody that is scientifically oriented and into burdens of proof, I am constantly testing the theories of astrology, because what I am trying to do is I am to try, in my own mind at least, I'm trying to disprove this random existential disconnected theory by saying that there is balance to the universe, that there is method, that the universe is like unto an engine, and at the same time there is logic connected with this engine. In other words, there seems to be a pattern or some kind of process that we are all involved in. And then when you take a look at a time a person is born, and when a baby comes out of the womb, or when a chicken or a bird hatches from an egg, right? And the moment the breathing process starts, and the moment that being, or the essence of that being, becomes separate or involved in this universe into the soap opera that we all play around in this dimension, once that process starts, there appears to be some kind of electrical charge that helps instigate the animation of the body. It's like the body is a battery, but the being does not awaken from its sleep in the womb or in the egg or whatever until it starts breathing and the eyes open up. And usually emotion comes forth, either laughing or crying or whatever, depending on what this being experiences at birth. And then there appears to be some kind of karmic and dharmic effect at birth. In other words, what I have figured out by studying astrology and by trying to be a scientist about it is that the astrology chart, the natal chart, is a map of karma, or does designate, in my opinion, that there has been a past existence, because an individual comes into a particular lifetime with positives and negatives that affect their life. And, for example, a person would also come into this lifetime with certain deeds or certain lucky qualities that we would also refer to as dharma. And the existential view would be that this is a random vibration that people would have. But astrologically, you take a look at people's charts like Olympia Dukakis and Sean Connery and Michael Douglas and Cher, for example, the four people that won the Academy Awards last night, whose charts I had analyzed, and come to the conclusion that karmically and dharmically speaking, they had reached a point in their quest in life, in the process of their soul growth, that they were going to receive tremendous public recognition, just like Bertolucci, who won the Best Picture for The Last Emperor, which I believe won 9 Academy Awards last night. See, you look at a person's astrology chart and you realize that the energy in their life is lit up either for the positive or for the negative. And, you know, we take things that are impossible to do, like predicting earthquakes, which we happen to be very, very right on as far as accuracy goes on the Astrology Hour, are predicting Academy Award winners, 5 for 5, are predicting 80 sports winners out of 22 losses, which is far and above and beyond a better percentage than almost any service you would find, a betting service, as far as giving out lock of the year or winners. And so, you know, what I do is I use astrology to judge and test the energy vibration that affects people at birth. Because I do believe that there is a soul, I do believe that that soul does carry a vibration with it, and I do believe that that soul is on a path, and in order to understand the path for that soul in this particular lifetime, we take a look at that birth chart, or the location of the planets in the solar system, in order to understand that exact vibration. Because one wonders, why is there a universe? Why are there planets? Why are there comets and asteroids and such? Why not just a planet in the middle of some void, if there was nothing else? And why is there beauty? Why is there life? In the middle of a universe where it would be physically impossible to have human life because of the vacuum of space, why suddenly has there been an island created called Earth in the middle of this infinite void that we live in, this universe, this third dimension? Why suddenly was an Earth created with an atmosphere that removed that vacuum of space, that created an atmosphere where biological beings could grow and live and procreate and suddenly have existence and what we would refer to as reality? Because if you mean to tell me that this whole thing, this planet Earth, this experiment called Earth, right, was created out of a random, disconnected assortment in this universe, when you know darn well in a lab for a scientist to create anything, they have to go through hundreds of tests, thousands of experiments, until they could try to duplicate what happened on Earth. You know, it's not real easy to create what we call life out of a vacuum of space, especially from a burning ember like the sun, which is, you know, billions of degrees Fahrenheit, whatever, and suddenly to have a planet within the realm of that star, and suddenly there's life. So, in my opinion, I consider this what we would refer to as a miracle. And I consider the planets in the solar system in this universe an engine. You might call it God's engine or God's lab, but I do believe that the soul is part and parcel to this essence called God, which somehow has separated itself, just like cells do, or an amoeba might divide itself. And in that separation process has created this planet called Earth in this solar system, in this galaxy, in this dimension, which allows life form, specifically human life, to exist and to procreate in an experience where each and every one of us is on a separate path of evolution and growth, the path of the soul. And the astrology chart would therefore be used to try to designate and understand and analyze the individual path as laid out by the soul. Now, of course, if there was an existentialist atheist out there listening today, they may be raving at me, calling me a lunatic, saying, Farley, it's just not so. It's all random. It's just electricity. But still, one thing that is interesting to note, and a further comment or footnote on this topic, would be that the human mind is quite an incredible object. And the human mind, of course, does flow with electricity. And all this information that we have discovered or developed about God could very well be just a creation of the mind. You know, miracles that you witness and visions or angels, they may all come from different levels of your very own mind consciousness. And that is also another part of the existential or atheist viewpoint, I believe. And in that instance, well, you know, they may be right. You know, maybe there is no God. Maybe when you are dead, but I choose to believe different. Because I don't think that a human mind or the human brain or the brain of any creature could have been developed at random in the vacuum of space. Because I don't know if you know this, but if you tried to jump out of a spaceship in the middle of outer space, a person's body without a suit on would probably explode in the vacuum. So it's kind of difficult to create a planet with life on it in that vacuum. So I tend to think, and I like to believe, that there either is a greater force, like a God force or an oversoul that is controlling this whole thing, or, on the other hand, if there wasn't a God, we'd have to be dealing with one heavy, incredible alien race that created this whole thing as a big experiment. We're talking about, of course, a race of beings that would be far and beyond evolved technically and technologically beyond us, because then they would have the capabilities of creating a planet and forming an experiment called Earth. But then there's the question, who created them? Who is behind their personal creation? And then we come back to God. So here's hoping there is a God, and here's hoping that you can validate the God force in your own way. But I like to use astrology as a science of what we would call, I guess, the God concept as far as developing and evolving the individuals that play in this soap opera called Earth. And in that way, I have my own personal explanation that helps me live better and be happier or feel more content with my own self, my own growth, and my own motives in life. Yeah, this is a pretty heavy topic, and I'll probably have to listen to the show at 5:30 to try and figure out what I said. I hope you understood. But anyway, in case you are interested in looking into your own further cosmic self-realization, then maybe astrology will be the answer for you, as it has been for me. All right, Southern California. Welcome to the two-hour expanded edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Of course, unless you're listening at 5:30 to 6:30 when this show will be rebroadcast. Today's show on existentialism and atheism. Unfortunately, I don't know as much as I'd like to know about these issues, but I basically do believe there is a God. I think there's a couple of other things that do go on in one's life that help validate that God exists. It's funny how the power of prayer seems to be very interesting. I found when I was very, very sick and praying to Jesus and Moses and anybody out there, please help me, that I did get resolution and I did get healing for asking for that kind of guidance from God. And once again, the existentialist and the atheist will say, well, it's your mind. It's the power of your mind because you believe there is a God. It helped manifest this illusion and helps you overcome your illness because the mind is very powerful. You know, remembering that scientifically we are only in control of about 10 to 16% of our brain capacity, you got to believe that if we were in control of 100% of our brain capacity, maybe we would be like unto a God. And at that point, maybe we would be able to immortalize our own selves without the help of a God force. See how it works? But on the other hand, you know, I've gone through lots of trials and tribulations in my life, and when I've been at my lowest low, and when I was my sickest and my saddest and my most depressed, I did take up meditation, and I did cry quite a bit when I was in trance, and I did have a visitation from what I felt was an angelic being. If it was a part of myself and a part of my mind, then wow, we're talking about Technicolor. We're talking about a really dramatic episode that really helped validate the existence of God, and I'll tell you why. Because during this experience that I had, and a lot of people have had these visions of Christ and visions of angelic beings, especially I was reading in this book, Star People, how people that may have sort of an extraterrestrial soul would also be able to have contact with these angelic or extraterrestrial beings in their own meditations. But the one thing that happened to me that validated and confirmed that there is a God and that I did live in other lifetimes and that I am much more than what I learned in school was I didn't really know much about astrology. And when I had this vision, when I had this meditation where I had this vision, a whole wall of knowledge was dumped on me. You know, when I came out of the trance, I suddenly knew about astrology. In other words, I had something in my mind that I later confirmed to be real and logical because the other teachers and other classes that I had taken confirmed this knowledge that was dumped on me. It was kind of like their way or God's way of letting me know that God is real and that there is something else beyond this dimension. Because when you're a baby and you're born, the brain starts from zero. So as far as I'm concerned, if you take a look at the brain as a computer, as far as input and output is concerned, then the brain will actually remember whatever is fed into it. But I never believed or never was into anything astrologically except sun sign astrology. But suddenly, and besides the fact that in college, I had found myself waking up in the middle of the night, sleepwalking, walking over to my typewriter and typing all these metaphysical doctrines when I was 19 and 20 and 21 years old, where I'd wake up in the morning without even remembering I'd typed them and look at this philosophy and go, whoa, like where did this stuff come from? You know, stuff I've even saved up till today, talking about reincarnation and evolution of the soul and metaphysics and just all these God concepts. So, you know, my personal validation that there's a God is this way that I have pulled information from beyond my own personal experiences, metaphysically speaking, and in the meditation when I had the vision, astrology and further enhancement of metaphysical and reincarnational and karmic and dharmic philosophies that just happen to be part of the topics that are delivered every day on this show for the last 4 years, marking this week. And that is how I have proved that God exists. Because there's something or somebody out there beyond my own inner self that has delivered knowledge to me that there is no way I could have possibly learned in this life because I have a darn good memory and I didn't take any astrology classes before I had that vision or read any books about it. But when I came out of that vision, I knew all the planets, I knew the aspects, I knew the signs, I knew the houses, and I had this understanding about astrology that was just dropped on me. That obviously what was told to me was that about the multidimensional self, the multidimensional mind, that I did have a mind called an intuitive mind, where all this sacred knowledge lies from past lives, that I was able to plug into this intuitive mind, and all this stuff was confirmed to me, that I was alive in a past life many, many times, that I did have extraterrestrial origin, that I had all this knowledge that I was pulling upon that I would not get from books or teachers, and that I would use this to deliver and teach to people on Earth. So in my opinion, if there was anything existential or atheist about me up until that point, if I did have trouble with Judaism or Christianity because I did feel it was a big myth or a fantasy or a conspiracy politically laid on the world, my doubts were overcome extensively so by my own personal experiences. And my advice to you, the listener, is if you want to find God, then maybe you should go through certain steps in your own personal meditations and in your own personal experiences that will bring you knowledge outside of yourself that you know there is no way you could have learned or known about previous because you didn't study it. And that's how we prove that there is something else besides ourselves, our own limited selves, in this universe. And since then, since I went through that experience, I have never felt alone, and I have never felt unloved, and I have never felt, I would say, limited or finite in my experience. I do feel like an eternal being now, and I do feel the soul is immortal, and I'm not frightened of it. In fact, I'm happy about it. So there's another topic that may help you understand life on Earth, at least maybe understand it better. Okay, now with that, we're going to go to the phones, and probably everybody's going to want to talk about their career and relationships. If you can think of more interesting questions today about your lives, if you want to manifest positive career and relationships, I say use the power of your mind. If you believe it's right, it's going to happen. Maybe you can think of one other thing in your life that I can help you with besides career and relationships, and I appreciate your comments on this topic if you have any. Let's go to Uncle Josh, the Aries with Virgo rising. How you doing, Josh?
Great. How's everything going? That was an excellent topic today.
Ooh, that was a hard one. Wow, that was. I felt like I was struggling through the beginning of that because I was nervous about it, but towards the end, I figure I think I landed on some important points.
Oh, yes. One of the things that convinced me of the God concept, one of the initial things that convinced me of the God concept was that of birth and growth from that single cell into the many cells that make up our body now.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first thing that came. And then after fully accepting that, I moved on to more mind-opening things that have just, it's amazing. It's speechless.
If you take a look at the beauty of this planet and at all the millions of life forms that live here, you got to believe that in this vacuum of space, there must be some kind of genetic code somewhere that started this ball rolling, you know? Because people don't realize that once you leave Earth, the universe is poisonous. And if you leave the atmosphere, if you even get in the outer atmosphere, then life just will not exist. And we can't prove there's any life on any other planets anywhere else in the universe at this point. So you got to believe that as far as God's workshop is concerned, we can say one thing for sure, that Earth is it for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. I wanted to see what my current aspect leave for me in spiritual unfoldment. How's that for a question?
Yeah, well, have you been doing any teaching yet yourself?
Yes, a small amount.
Mm-hmm. Are you considering seminars? What areas are you teaching, Josh?
Neuro-linguistic programming, self-growth, and a few other things. It's just jumping into all kinds of different areas.
Yeah, well, a lot of people born in 65 and 66 have this spiritual lesson where they should become teachers because of Saturn in Pisces. The karma of the hosts of these charts have Saturn in Pisces, so this is their playground of growth. If they weren't into self-destructive behavior and drug addiction and alcoholism, then they would make some of the best teachers. And you are being triggered quite well right now. I think you have a Taurus moon. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going through a lot of trines coming up here in the future from Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. Trine your Uranus and grand trine your moon in Taurus.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah?
Moon is in Gemini.
Okay, sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
You do have Uranus and Pluto in Virgo, though, okay?
Yes.
And they're conjunct. So, you know, Uranus and Pluto being extremely spiritual, powerful planets, you also have a Saturn trine Neptune. So Pluto and Uranus and Neptune and Saturn will all set up a bunch of trines in your chart in about 5 or 6 years that I think you're being groomed for to be a very powerful teacher. You may be on the radio or television at that point.
Sounds great.
See you, Josh.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Brian now, Gemini with Taurus rising. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing?
Real good.
Oh, good. Great topic.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, I listen to all your topics all the time. When I've called in before, I normally have some you know, more spiritual questions and stuff. I hate to bum you out, but I was going on in my career. Because normally I don't have a problem with that. But
are you unemployed?
No, actually I am employed. I have a lot going on with my career, many things. I'm trying to pull them all together into one. I mean, big things. A lot of people putting money into it.
Are you in your own business? Or are you just in the preparation?
No, I work for a company, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm off on tour as a musician, and you know, when I'm at a job, I can take off and do that. But
you seem to be a little worried. Are you afraid that something negative is going to happen coming up here? Or are there rumors of destruction in the career or something like that?
Oh, no, actually, I'm just trying to. It's like there's almost too much going on. I'm getting pulled like to pieces.
Yeah. See, you're right in the middle of your Saturn return. You have Saturn at around three or four Capricorn.
Yeah.
And that's where Saturn is at one Capricorn right now.
I heard that on the radio. I went, uh-oh.
Yeah, so you're being tested like crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, my advice is to take it slow, be cautious, be patient, and try not to reach too far too fast. And remember that you are being shown lessons here, even though a lot of it will be positive. When Saturn hits 4 or 5 Capricorn, a lot of things may hit the fan where you may be disappointed if you're not ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
So try to stay confident and optimistic and good.
I have a finger of God in the 8th house that my Saturn is in.
You know what else I was thinking about? Magic Johnson has Saturn in Capricorn. He's having a Saturn return.
Wow.
And I predicted the Lakers to win the NBA championship. It'll be interesting to watch this series here and see if Magic's health holds up during the playoffs.
Really? Well, I agree with that.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Carol now on line 6, a Scorpio with Scorpio rising a double. Hi, Carol.
I'm so glad to be talking to you. I got on the line before you were even on the radio to ask you about my spiritual growth, personal growth, and to talk about that. And I was delighted to hear your topic. Really touched by it. I've just been sitting here. It really affected me.
Well, thank you.
I loved it. I think I'm a triple Scorpio with rising sign, moon, and sun in Scorpio.
Yeah, I used to know one other triple Scorpio. She was a stripper.
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay. She was a little younger than you, though.
Oh, boy. It's a yo-yo. I feel like a yo-yo sometimes. I'm on a yo-yo.
Yeah. I bet you have a lot of energy to deal with there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Up and down, up and down.
So what's your question?
Spiritual growth. I have some of the chart in front of me. What would I need to know? Tell me about that.
Well, you know, you were born at a very special time in 1939 because that was one of the few times, of course, of this century where Uranus was trine Neptune, Uranus being the awakening Aquarian lord and Neptune being the Piscean lord, with Uranus in Taurus and Neptune in Virgo, two work signs. I'm surprised you haven't taken on a career of spirituality and teaching.
Yeah.
Oh, good. What
well,
do you do?
I mean, not a career, but it's such a main part of me. That isn't what I do to earn the money and make a living, but my whole day and night and everything, I mean, my whole being is just feels like it's on a spiritual path.
Yeah, and then you have Mercury in Sag, a fire sign, and that's complementing trine
Pluto. Is conjunct Venus? I think that's what it says.
Mm-hmm. Mercury and Venus trine Pluto, which is great for philosophy. You probably have a lot of knowledge to share. Maybe you should start teaching seminars yourself. Probably accumulated quite a bit as a triple Scorpio, huh?
Yes, I've read and I've been involved in spiritual groups.
Your karma is a self-fulfillment, a self-realization cosmically. And part of your karma, I would think, would also be to deliver this information to others that may be in similar states you've been in. So before your life's mission is fulfilled, you'd have to learn to be a teacher. Thank you, okay?
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Kathy now on line 4, and Aries with Sag rising is what her friend is. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Farley. The question that I wanted to ask was, what does the solar return chart mean?
Well, you see, what happens is, like everybody has a sun sign degree.
Uh-huh.
Like when you get into astrology, you find out, for example, if she was born in the 12th,
uh-huh,
we know her degree is probably 23 degrees Aries.
22.
Okay, and there's minutes attached to that, too.
Okay.
Like 2214 or 2218. And an astrologer, like a mechanic, can actually calculate the exact moment that the sun will come back in space to where it was when the baby was born that you once were. Now, at that moment, when the sun returns to 2218 Aries or whatever her minutes are, then an electrical effect affects the person where they reabsorb. It's like the sun opens a window in space, in that area of space where you were born, lets in another electrical burst every year around your birthday. And this electrical burst where the planets are located is a vibrational effect that stays with the being for 1 year. So in a solar return chart, if we freeze the sun right at the return and freeze all the planets and the rising sign, we end up with a new chart, an additional chart besides the natal that lasts for 1 year. It has a life of 1 year, and then we can interpret that new chart called the solar return for one full year. So it's like interpreting. You can look at your relationships and your career and your money and your goals and your spiritual growth for 1 year by looking at the solar return and trying to figure that out.
Well, what I did was your show yesterday had the sun at 22 degrees. And so I just got through this morning, you know, just doing up another wheel with the planets at the position that they were.
Well, it's impossible to figure out rising sign without a computer, you know, and that's really the whole key. The rising sign and the solar return is the self for the year, you know.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye. My name is Farley Malaris, and you're listening to KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Okay, we got Robert, Taya, Gwen, Constance, Stuart, Roger's friend, Selena, Rosie, and Michelle all on the phones. So let's go to them. Let's talk to Robert, a Leo with Scorpio rising. Hey, Rob.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Okay, on the topic today, you know what's interesting with people I've found over the years, Farley, is that a lot of people will not believe in God and don't go to church and don't really read the Bible until they get into a jam. In other words, if a friend of theirs is sick or a loved one is sick or dying or whatever, or they get into a wreck, I've just noticed right away they reach out and say, oh, please, God, don't anything happen to them.
Yeah, isn't that funny? How oftentimes when we have sex, too, the first thing out of our mouth is, oh, God, you know. But, no, it's...
You're right.
Another thing is, have you ever fired a gun?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I think the consciousness of picking up a gun and then loading it and then aiming it, especially at a living creature, and then firing it and killing that creature, you almost have to be an atheist or somebody that has no idea God exists in order, in my opinion, to do that.
That's true.
But so many people all over the world throughout history have been picking up guns and knives and slashing and killing like it's no big deal.
Yeah.
And of course, there's a major karmic price you pay for killing anything, much less a person. And makes you wonder why war exists at all. I think one of the missions of God on this planet is to teach some of the concepts of karma and soul growth to people so the shooting and the killing will stop. Because I think once people have the opinion about God that I do, it'd be darn difficult to pick up a gun, much less load it or even fire it. I'm scared to death of firing a gun, I'll tell you.
You got a point there. Another thing I've noticed over the past year since all this controversy has been going on television about Swaggart and the Bakers, etc., a lot of people have got turned off of religion and Christianity because of that. But I've also noticed the Bible, being a Christian, it states that God says don't put your eyes on man because he'll let you down every time. Put your eyes on him, meaning the Lord.
I think part of the problem also with Swaggart and Baker is I think they let their egos run away with them.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, under the laws of karma, that stuff will come smack you in the face. So I think if you pretend to be someone philosophical and religious, and then all of a sudden your ego runs away with the power that's accompanied with that, it's like somebody pulling your pants down in the middle of a crowd.
Yeah.
So I kind of think that's what happened to those guys.
That's probably what happened. I think they might have got a little bit of greed that got involved there, too.
You know, with all that money, that if those guys were 100% honest, that I don't think God would have allowed this sort of thing to happen.
There
so, you know, they're there driving around in Rolls Royces with huge mansions, and of course it's all for the church, right?
Excellent.
And you're sitting there going, well, what about all these people starving and dying in the world,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Why not you live in a hut and give all your money away if you want to be like Jesus? If you want to be like Jesus, then come out there like Gandhi did in robes and show us how you can live with nothing, you know?
Very good point. And also, a lot of, I wanted to ask you this, a lot of Christians believe that astrology is like the occult.
Well, the word...
Have you heard that before?
Yeah, the word astrology is not listed in the Bible. I believe in Genesis, when God created the sun and the moon and all the planets, I guess there's a reason why he did that. I guess he created the sun and the moon and all the planets because he knew we needed them. I guess we need them more for just beauty, but to help us understand some of the vibration here. And I keep on saying that this thing with the three wise men is so powerful, because why would that be included in the epic of Christ when they keep talking about these three wise men followed the great star, the planetary configuration that led them to the birth of Christ?
Uh-huh.
And if you're into Kabbalistic Judaic thought or ancient mystical Judaism, which is the foundation of Judaism, God, you'll find astrology all over the place. Each sign ruling a chakra and each tribe of Israel being ruled by a sign, and even certain synagogues throughout the world still have the zodiac on their doors.
Uh-huh.
So, just the symbols of the Bible, like the symbol of the lamb, which is Aries, and the symbol of the lion of Judah, which is Leo. Like, there's all kinds of symbolism that's astrologically interlaced.
Interesting.
And a lot of people believe that Judaism is actually an extraterrestrial religion that was given to us from our outer space brothers and sisters due to their own roots of faith that they also adhered to, because they understood God at a much higher level than us. So they were trying to transmit to us in a primitive way this essence of God, which included astrology and karma and metaphysics and Dharma and all that stuff I talk about.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad you clarified that for me, not only for me, but a lot of your listeners, because I've talked to some of your listeners who are friends of mine, and they were a little confused on that issue also.
I mean, why would Christ choose 12 apostles? Why not just one? You know, why not even two? You know, like, it makes no sense why he would choose 12. Why were there 13 colonies in the United States, 12 signs of the zodiac plus one? You know, like, all the founding fathers of this country were totally metaphysical and astrological. And this country, of course, is based on love and freedom and democracy. And I don't think we have it pure, but I think we have it better than everybody else does. So, you know, I think there's a method to the madness of astrology and metaphysics that I think can be very important.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. Okay, now getting back on the other side of it, what do you think about my career? How does it look?
Well, you could be having a little money problem here lately.
Uh-huh.
Are you strapped?
I'm strapped. I'm out of work right now.
You did go through a roll for a while, though, huh?
Sure did.
And did you spend it all?
No, I stashed some of it. I'm living off that right now.
Good idea. Be careful, because, see, you're having a double T-square on your Venus-Saturn square, Venus in Cancer, Saturn in Aries, and a lot of people in 1937 are going through this kind of stuff.
Is that right?
So you might have to fight a little harder, or this may be a time of respite in your life where maybe you should be more spiritual, relax, unwind, and heal the temple of your body.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Frankly, you are shown a power surge of income over the summer, but in the meantime, this is a long transit for you, so I hope you do have a little nest egg to protect you.
I gotcha.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to line one and talk to Stuart, the Aquarius. Yo, Stuart.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
Roger suggests I give you a call because he couldn't answer my questions.
Well, Roger's not the brightest guy in the world. I'm just kidding. So what can we do for you?
Well, I'm going through this stressful situation in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm working behind the scenes, behind the camera type of thing. But I've always had a desire to be in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Things are starting to escalate and, you know, start working for me behind the camera. And I don't know, I'm kind of torn between where my life is. It's just very stressful. I don't know which direction to take anymore.
Well, you have Venus in Pisces, which is the money planet, and the planet Pluto is in Scorpio right now, is going to complement your money planet for about 2 years. So no matter what you're doing, Stuart, you are shown a great deal of money, like a tidal wave of income, which may be like a major picture or a major role. Have you had periods in your life where you've been real lucky with money?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I always know that, I mean, I have a feeling like I know just a spiritual type thing that I'm born for success, but I fight with it. I struggle with it all the time.
Well, what you got to do is let go of your fear, because you, like Roger, can be insecure sometimes and negative and lack confidence. When you become a master of confidence and optimism like Roger's becoming, then you guys will both have success. Okay?
I got it. That sounded a little better, Far. Thanks.
Okay, well, where's Goofy at, Roger?
I don't know where Goofy is.
Okay, we'll see you later.
Love you, Far.
Roger Reinhardt. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Former host of Saturday Night Live and current commercial actor and stage screen actor. All right, everybody, that's the first hour of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. We'll see you real soon, weekdays on the Fox at 12 noon. Have a nice day.